This is the Westridge Young Adult Podcast, where our goal is to encourage and equip college students and young professionals to grow in their walk with Jesus Christ and live out their faith in every arena of their lives. We hope to provide biblically rooted and culturally relevant content to challenge you and help you grow and navigate life and faith in your 20s so you can live with clarity and conviction in this age of chaos and confusion. So get ready, lean in, here we go.
What is up, young adult family? It's your boy, Sawyer David Lamar Strickland, hanging out with my good friend, Jeffrey Blake Odgers.
That's it.
Jeffrey, how you doing today, man?
You're the worst. I'm good, man. I'm good. How you doing, Lamar?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You see, I actually didn't know Blake's name was Jeffrey. Maybe I heard it one time a couple years ago, but we just now rehashed that Blake's first name is actually Jeffrey.
So there's actually a funny story behind my first name. So I'm named after my uncle. My uncle Jeff. And my dad, so my uncle Jeff and my aunt, they couldn't have kids, or so we thought. And my parents, when they had me, named me after my uncle because my uncle was never going to be able to have a son of his own. And so, you know, what a beautiful thing.
That's touching.
Good. Such an honor. And so, lo and behold, by God's grace, my Uncle Jeff, my Aunt Amanda, they get pregnant with a boy. So my dad is thinking, man, they're gonna honor me. They're gonna call their kid Joe. They're gonna call their kid Joseph, little Joey, whatever it's gonna be. So they give birth to my cousin, and they name him Jeffrey. And so now there's two Jeffreys, and so Jeffrey goes by Jeffrey. Jeff now, and I stick with Blake, so there's no confusion. But yes,
what an endearing story.
My uncle Jeff was he loved himself, so
he needed two Jeffreys. So man, well, what a story to kick us off.
And you're named after Lamar Odom, so
yeah, Lamar Odom. It's my grandpa. I'm just kidding. No, but David Lamar, both my grandpas from both sides. So pretty epic.
Yeah.
So those are our middle names. So I'm only calling Blake Jeffrey from here on out.
You have four
after
names.
After hearing that. So I do.
What a long driver's license.
Yeah. Well, so wanted to kick us off today with a question.
Hit it.
What is the greatest place that you've ever been to on earth?
Bucky's.
Not the greatest bathroom, the greatest place.
That place is impressive. Hand sanitizer things in the stalls.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty
and phenomenal. The soap in there smells like cherries.
Does it? I haven't had my smell in 2 years. So
since COVID.
Thank you for
rubbing that
in. But
sorry.
But anyway, so I would say, and I think I actually talked about this at a gathering 1 month. St. John Island, the U.S. Virgin Islands. St. John Island is by far my favorite place I've ever been. You've heard Kenny Chesney sing about it. I think the reason I love it is because, unlike St. Thomas, neighboring island, which is a big tourist attraction, when John Rockefeller sold St. John to the United States, part of the contract was that it had to stay at least 75% natural. They couldn't turn it into St. Thomas and build all these tourist attractions or whatever. He wanted it to stay 75% natural. And so there's like one or two hotels or resorts on there, but outside of that, it's like all locals and all natural. Mm-hmm. And it is by far the most amazing place I've ever been. Like, you have to walk through the woods to get to these beaches, and they're just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Google Cinnamon Bay, Hawk's Nest, any of those, dude? Mm. Man.
Who'd you go with?
Make you envy me. My buddy Nick Brandt was the guy who discipled me and led me in college, and he put together these discipleship retreats. And so me and like 20 other dudes were riding around St. John Island on Jeeps.
So you called it a discipleship retreat, but really it was just an awesome vacation.
Yeah. I told somebody the other day, it was like, We were like asking people to sponsor us because we couldn't afford to go, and it was like the most uncomfortable thing.
We might have to cut this part of the podcast
because we were like, "Look, we swear it's a discipleship retreat." They're like, "Okay," but anyways, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I may have to give an account for that. I don't know.
Okay,
but we'll see.
We'll sleep it under the rug. Yeah. Never happened.
What about you?
Yeah, so
like Panama
best
City.
Place at PCB, baby. Gulf Shores.
Spring Break 2K15.
Yeah. No, best place I've ever been to was Hawaii. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all honeymoon there, right?
Yeah. Yep. Went on our honeymoon there. It was the greatest place of all time. Like, it was, we hung out on North Shores a ton. Went to the beach every day. I got a 24-ounce steak for dinner one night, and I only ate like 8 ounces of it.
And then the rest of it, 24 ounces of steak.
The rest of it went bad in the fridge. So I really just got an 8-ounce steak, and went cliff jumping, snorkeling. It was the most beautiful place ever.
Did you visit where they filmed Jurassic Park?
I did not. I wish I would have. I'm sure we passed it somewhere. Yeah. But yeah, there's like so many things to do there. I feel like we just have to go back. So me and Kara talk about it like every day. Like, man, we have got to get back there.
Well, dude, if you're wanting to be able to afford trips to Hawaii, you're in the right job.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We're going to save up for the next 30 years and then we'll be able to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hawaii is best place I've ever been to. Okay. It was legit. But
now, sorry, how does this segue into today's topic?
Oh, of course. Well, great question. We're talking about heaven on earth, right? The best places we've ever been to.
Yeah.
Well, today we're really just talking about heaven on the podcast, right? So we're talking through what is heaven. Mm. We've heard a lot of different teachings in the church about heaven. And so what does like scripture have to say about heaven? Mm-hmm. We're talking about what it means to live with an eternal mindset with heaven on our mind. And we're talking about how we can really live every single day for what matters in eternity. So those are kind of the things that we're going to be hitting and really just trying to get super applicational. So how can we really apply these truths to our lives and live them out as young adults today? So our first question is, I'm laying it up for you, man. Al, you open it. What is heaven?
What is heaven? I think to put it really simply, essentially heaven is where the throne of God resides. It's where God's presence and his reign are totally unhindered. And so we see kind of in creation, right? God creates, he's enjoying perfect harmony with man. And then what man does in its disobedience and rebellion against God is we then see the earth that God gave for man to have dominion over and to rule and reign was delivered over to the enemy. And so we see in Ephesians 2, it says that the enemy, Satan, is the ruler and the principalities of the air and of the present age. And so we kind of abdicated and gave it over to the enemy, but that was earth. However, God's rule and reign in heaven has not diminished at all. And so essentially heaven is where the throne of God resides, where God's presence is completely unleashed and God's reign is completely unhindered. And so now on earth, there's this battle that then wages between heaven and darkness, between light and darkness. And we're kind of caught in the middle of that, obviously. But just to kind of keep it super simple, heaven is where the throne of God resides and his presence is totally unleashed and his reign is completely unhindered, despite what may be happening here in the world and the brokenness that we see and that we get to be a part of. Like, God is still ultimately enthroned and in power. Mm-hmm. But we're kind of in the in between.
Yeah.
We're in the already, but not yet kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so
it's good. So along with that, who goes to heaven?
Yeah. So
who is heaven made for? Like, who goes there? How do you get there?
Yeah. So I think I'll answer this kind of in two parts. One, who goes there, but two, like, where do they go exactly? And so, ultimately, heaven is for people who love God. Like, heaven is the place where God's reign and rule is completely unhindered. And so you want to be a person and need to be a person who wants to live underneath that rule and reign, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's for people who love God, because if you love God and you trust in his character, then you want to be under his rule and reign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're imperfect and we're marred and broken by sin. And so even though we desire and we want to trust God perfectly and live under his rule and reign, our flesh still battles and we don't do that perfectly. Mm-hmm. However, that desire should be there, that, man, we love God and we want to obey him and pursue him and desire him. And so, heaven is for people who love God. Now, I want to just kind of clarify, like, ultimately we are saved by grace through faith. And so when I say that, it's not like there's this action or to-do list or things that you must have accomplished to prove your love for God in order to get into heaven and those kind of things. But But what Scripture talks about is that, man, we are born again, mm-hmm. that by grace through faith, the Holy Spirit gives us a new heart with new desires and new affections and a new purpose that we want to pursue. And out of that heart, you know, that authentic faith, and we love God and we pursue the things that He calls us to pursue, brokenly, but mm-hmm. increasingly. And so, yeah. And so for instance, like for me, in my life, you know, I really gave my life to Christ from right at 15 turning 16, and I was broken, and I was already addicted to junk. I was already, you know, just relationally broken, and had all these things that were part of my life. And at 19, I was still a mess, but I was a little bit less of a mess because yeah. I was learning how to increasingly submit to God's rule and reign in my life mm-hmm. and to trust Him. And my heart was being healed and transformed. And as a result of that, my life was beginning to be different mm-hmm. as I submitted myself under the kingdom rule and reign of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And now at 27, I look a whole lot different than mm-hmm. I did at 19, than I did at 15, 16, because that continues to increasingly happen. And so my desire is to live under the kingdom rule and reign of Jesus, which is why heaven is the type of place that I want to be mm-hmm. because I trust in God's character. I believe He's good. And I believe ultimately human flourishing and the best that we can possibly experience is underneath His supreme authority mm-hmm. and good kingship.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, first of all, like that is, kind of, you know, that's kind of what I think about when I talk about, man, who goes to heaven. People who have been saved by Jesus, place their faith and their trust in Him, and increasingly want to submit to His rule and reign in their life, and who love Him. Mm-hmm. But as far as where they go and what that looks like, you know, Scripture kind of talks about that ultimately to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we know that if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus and you've surrendered to Him and you walk with Him and you know Him and you love Him, that man, when you die, you can know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, mm-hmm. that you are going to be with Him. However, there's kind of two ways that Scripture talks about heaven is that first of all, that your soul will go to be with God where He is in heaven. But that's not the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. That what Scripture talks about is the resurrection and the new heaven and new earth. And that means that God's ultimate goal is for Jesus to come back and to redeem and restore the earth. And mm-hmm. so that's where it talks about like our resurrected bodies. Like we will not be just floating souls yeah. with no body. That God has created us with a body, that He molded and shaped the body in the very beginning, and then He breathed into the body the breath of life so that He united soul and spirit and body all together, that He's made us with bodies and for bodies. You know, I've heard it said before that we're just souls and we have bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, not like God honors the body. He created the body because mm-hmm. and ultimately He wants to resurrect the body.
Yeah.
And He wants to give you a new redeemed body and in a new redeemed earth where we live and delight in the kingdom rule and reign of Jesus over the earth. And so, yeah. and so when we die, yes, we will go to be with God where He is, in soul form, but mm-hmm. the ultimate goal is that God is going to come and redeem and restore a new heaven and a new earth where mm-hmm. we can live and enjoy and delight in the kingdom rule and reign of Jesus.
Yeah, man, that's good. I think that's such a good reminder and really like clarifying, you know, because I think when we talk about heaven, a lot of times we talk about this place that we're going to go away to and then that's the end of it. But mm-hmm. really God talks so much about Jesus coming back and redeeming His creation, redeeming yep. all things, new heaven, new earth,
yep.
And creating this place that is perfected.
Yep.
And, our, you know, obviously our body's being perfected.
Yep.
And there's no sin. There's no shame. There's yep. no brokenness. Like we're going to be completely perfected and Jesus is coming back. And so I think that's such a good reminder because it's not just we're going away to this place, but yep. this place is actually going to be renewed and restored.
Yeah. And remember that, man, God loves His creation. Mm-hmm. Right. And so God's plan isn't to escape the earth, but to renew it. Like, yeah. like God's plan is to physically restore His entire creation, including us, earth, and every living thing, because he loves it. He mm-hmm. made it. He poured it out of His heart. He dreamed it up. He made it, and He wants to see it restored and redeemed, even though it's been broken. But But that's why even where we're sitting right now, like, man, we long for Jesus's return, mm-hmm. Because it's a good thing, because yeah. we get to see the redemption of all things, including ourselves, our bodies, and the earth and every living thing. And so, yeah, it's a beautiful thing to long for sure.
Yeah. I think another thing, you know, we as believers can kind of think about is just heaven is going to be this place where we're just like chilling forever. Mm. You know, it's just like mm-hmm. the biggest chill place you've ever seen. Like we're just doing nothing. Like
yeah.
what, and I feel like scripture kind of goes against that viewpoint a little bit. And, so the next question would be, what do you think heaven's going to be like? Like what do we see in scripture that kind of describes what heaven's going to be like? What is our role going to be mm-hmm. like? I feel like a lot of times we can talk about heaven, but it's like absent of God. Like it's yeah. just kind of like a heavenly place mm. where we'll get all that we ever wanted on earth that we didn't get here. You
yeah.
know, we'll get in heaven. So what would you say to that question?
Yeah. That's good. I think again, man, asking the question, like, why do you want to go to heaven? Like, why would you want to be there? Why would you want to go there? And man, it's a red flag for me if the answer is primarily anything other than Jesus. And I say that just because, like, you know, we have stuff here, and if your idea of heaven is being able to get all the stuff, right, that you couldn't get here. Like, I've heard a lot of people, man, like, you know, I don't have money now, or I wish I had a Maserati, or I wish mm-hmm. I had a mansion, or I wish I had this vacation home on the beach or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're going, well, I'll have it in heaven. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And it's kind of like they long for heaven, not because of Jesus, but because of the stuff.
Yeah.
And Jesus actually warns us about that on earth. Like he warns us about that here. Like, hey, don't ask for a miracle. Don't ask for the things. You want me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm the supreme good. You should desire me. And so that's actually a sign of your brokenness. It's, you know, that you're desiring these other things. And I love what C.S. Lewis and Randy Alcorn, they kind of talk about this. C.S. Lewis talks about it in The Problem of Pain, and Randy Alcorn talks about it in his book, actually, On Heaven. But C.S. Lewis talks about that there have been times when I think that, man, we don't desire heaven, but the more I find myself wondering whether in our heart of hearts, we have ever desired anything else. And so what he's talking about is like, ultimately all of our desires are a shadow just showing that, man, we ultimately long for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy Alcorn hits on this where he says, you know, we imagine that we want 1,000 different things, but it's really, we long for one thing
mm-hmm.
and we long for heaven, but it's ultimately because we long for God.
Yeah.
And so it's actually our longing for these other things are actually a sign of our brokenness. And God's saying, man, it's a little bit further, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't long for these things. You long for heaven because you long for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, we want to be satisfied in Jesus, which is ultimately what he wants to do in heaven, is he wants to satisfy our longings with himself.
Yeah.
And so first of all, as far as what will heaven be like, man, it's that, like, man, you will no longer have this marred, broken heart. Your flesh will no longer be an issue. Those broken desires and idols and all those things that you feel in fear will not be there, man. You will have a renewed, redeemed heart that longs for Jesus and enjoys him and enjoys his rule and reign over your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, that's like, man, I long for the day, right? That I don't have these twisted desires in my heart. Like, man, I long for the day that my flesh isn't constantly combating
mm-hmm.
the spirit, that longs for God and longs for his beauty and longs to obey him. And that flesh is trying to pull me back to,
yeah.
to different, you know, idols or fears or, you know, security and all these other things that can, you know, that can ultimately hold me back
mm-hmm.
and keep me from the best that God has for me. And
yeah.
dude, I just can't imagine like that day that those weights and those burdens are no longer there. But so first of all, like understanding that, man, what you're going to be like when you're restored is a beautiful thing. But anyway, Revelation actually tells us that like in heaven, we're going to rest from our labor.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we're not going to, so there's not going to be this toil and this striving that we feel all the time. You know, that when we see in Genesis, like God creates man in the garden, creates woman in the garden, and then gives them a calling and he gives them a purpose. And he says, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to have dominion over the earth. Like he gives mm-hmm. them work to do. But then we see the fall when sin happens is where the curse of the fall becomes the toil and the striving and the labor. And he tells them, hey, you're only going to benefit by the sweat and the toil and the labor. And so we see work is actually not a result of sin. Work was something that was created and gifted to us by God, that we were meant to have purpose, and we were meant to have work to do, but labor is a result of the fall, is a result of sin. And so one of the promises that heaven has for us is that, man, you're going to be able to rest from your labor, but scripture also promises us that we're going to have a work to do. And so the idea there is that man, you won't have a job in heaven, but you will have a purpose. That like we're not just going to be sitting there and aimlessly just, you know, floating around and having nothing to do, but no, like God is going, like, you know, Psalm promises us, man, that in his right hand are treasures and pleasures forevermore. So there's going to be so much to enjoy that we have the pleasures and the treasures that come with God and his beauty and his riches and his glory. Like there's just so much that we have from that we're going to be able to enjoy and delight in. But at the same time, man, he's created us to have purpose. And so even in heaven, like we're going to be able to pursue a purpose, man, that he's created us and he's wired us and like we have a personality and we have aspects that God created and hardwired in us that are meant to be pursued. And you know, man, like there's a reason that people who are lazy and slothful tend to be anxious and depressed and those kind of things, because we weren't made for that. And so what makes us think that we're going to get to heaven and be couch potatoes? Like, no, God hasn't made us that way. And so, yes, there's going to be so much joy, but we're also still going to be able to enjoy purpose together. And then as a community, like as a community of believers, continuing to enjoy God's kingdom, rule, and reign, and continuing to live in purpose and on purpose together, as we have dominion that God's gonna entrust us with, even in heaven, that he's going to continue to give us space and to play and work and create and do and do things. Man, that's a joy. And so we have to get it out of our heads that we're going to go into some bright light and there's just going to be like, no, we're going to have the presence of God unleashed, unhindered, and we're going to be in to enjoy the safety and the beauty and the freedom of God's kingdom, and we're going to be able to create and enjoy and do things that we love to do in a restored and redeemed earth. Like that is a beautiful, beautiful promise and future that we have in store.
Yeah, that's good. So you're saying that we're not going to be able to watch Netflix in heaven.
I mean, maybe if you have VidAngel. There's some like...
you can watch The Chosen. You can watch The Chosen in heaven.
TVMA, rated R, I don't know, PG-13. Like,
you can watch God's Not Dead.
You can watch... Oh my gosh, can you imagine God's Not Dead on repeat for eternity?
Bro, we're going to have God's Not Dead 10.
Oh my gosh.
By 2060.
Oh, everybody's uniform is just Lifeway shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Vintage Jesus tees.
Yeah, with your Almighty God gold tie.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
The good days.
So you said that we might not have jobs in heaven because labor was after the fall, but what do you feel like you want your purpose in heaven to be?
I
want to
work at the heavenly DMV.
That'd be a creation restored right there.
I want to be in the one spot where I get to test the patience of people in heaven.
Yeah, I'm exactly. Like, oh, yeah.
How restored and redeemed are you, bro? Can you take this ticket and be number 177 and sit here for the next 6 hours?
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like it'd be pretty chill to be like a mailman in heaven, just like seeing people's cribs, like.
Like, I could see you like holding up the envelope to the sun. Yeah. Like, what's in this? What's,
like, bro, you made the heaven. I remember you from middle school.
You were tripping.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's good. I feel like that.
Which part?
All that aside. I mean, that's good that, you know, you'll be doing your thing. I'll be a mailman.
Yeah.
No, I feel like that's good just to think about, man, that just like you said, that like work, like we were meant to work and to work for God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that was pre-fall. Like Adam and Eve had a purpose to go and like steward over all of creation and work and tend to the soil, all those things that we see in Genesis.
And the beauty of this is like right now as we work, we kind of work from a place of struggle, right? Like once again, there's a battle. There's a kingdom of light. There's a kingdom of darkness and they are at battle together. And like we are constantly striving and fighting because we want to see victory happen. The beauty of this is that the victory will have happened, like that we will be able to enjoy and delight in that Jesus has won, and we are safe and secure in that. And so the purpose that we will have won't be from a place of struggle or striving or toiling, but a place of peace and security. And so we'll be able to enjoy a purpose that isn't from a from a like need. Mm-hmm. You know, like right now we need to work to be able to support ourselves, to be able to provide. We need to work in order to be able to eat. We need to work. Mm-hmm. And even from like a kingdom perspective, like we need to pursue the things of God. We need to strive because we're constantly going to be tempted by sin and by the enemy. And we want to fight against the, kind of the principalities of darkness of our day and mm-hmm. culture and some of these other things. But in heaven, we won't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like the victory will have been won. We'll be safe and secure. We'll be able to delight and enjoy and to just work for a purpose that isn't birthed out of striving, but is birthed out of peace and security and serenity.
Yeah. Man, that's so good. So good. So we talked about it a little bit in the beginning, but how we are actually, as God is, you know, renewing creation, like he uses us to do that.
Yeah.
Like he uses us to be his light bearers, to push back darkness mm-hmm. here on earth and to bring the kingdom here, the yep. kingdom now, you know, like you said, we're kind of in the already, but not yet. Yep. Like we experience God here. We experience a relationship with him. We experience his kingdom. We're citizens of his kingdom,
yep.
but we're not yet. We don't yet see the fullest extent of that until yep. he comes back. So what does it look like for us now as we live here on earth to live for what matters in eternity? How do we live for the kingdom?
Yeah, because, you know, in Matthew 6, when Jesus talks about prayer, you know, and the disciples ask him, hey, how are we supposed to pray? And he says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, you know, there's this idea that, man, when Jesus's ministry began, he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. He is ushering in the kingdom. And now our job, our responsibility is to advance that kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we long for the day that Jesus returns and his kingdom rule and reign is totally there. But man, our job as his ambassadors is to advance that kingdom until he returns.
Yep.
And so we want to see the kingdom of God come here and now. Why? Because once again, we believe God is good and that for him to be in rule and reign over things is good. It's good mm-hmm. for us and it's good for people. It's good for the world. And mm-hmm. so we want to advance that rule and reign. And we do that through the gospel. We do that through gospel proclamation. We do that through making disciples. We do that, you know, in that way. It's not something that we take by force. It's something we take by love.
Yep.
And just a powerful opportunity that we have. But, you know, because that kingdom rule and reign is not something that God's going to do apart from us right mm-hmm. now. Like he chooses to work in and through his people.
Yeah.
And as we surrender and submit to him, he uses us by the power of his spirit, by the authority of his word to advance the kingdom of light and take ground on the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
It's like what we talk about in Matthew 16, when Jesus is talking with Peter and he says, hey, Peter, who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, on this confession, on this word, on the authority of my name and who I am and my identity, I'm going to build my church
mm-hmm.
and the gates of hell will not overcome my church. And it's actually a poor translation of the word, but it's become, you know, church has become what we call it. But the Greek word ekklesia that Jesus uses there, it's this idea of the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture that I always use is actually in Endgame
yeah.
with the Avengers and in Captain America. Right, they're in Wakanda, and mm-hmm. you got Thanos coming up against them, and then all of a sudden the portals start opening, and mm-hmm. all the people start walking through the portals,
yeah.
and all of a sudden you have this force, this army, right? And then what does Captain America say? He says the same thing he always says: Avengers, assemble.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this idea of the assembly, the army taking ground on the kingdom of darkness, to rule and for the rule and reign of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you know, we do this through love and through sacrifice. We do it through gospel proclamation. We do it through discipleship. It's not something that we take through violence or force. That's what we see with Jesus. He didn't come mm-hmm. to take life. He came to lay his life down
yeah.
and give life. And so we do this. We follow that same example. And so we want to advance that here and now, knowing that our King is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But as his people and as his ambassadors, our job is to get a head start on it.
Yeah.
And so we do that
mm-hmm.
and we do it joyfully.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
So good, like just to think about, man, it's not just us chilling here until we go to heaven. Like mm-hmm. we're not just like just not being a part of the world and kind of like in our own little spaces, right? Like afraid of the world and, yeah. and wanting to retract from the world, but it's actually us going into the world, spreading his light, being ambassadors for the kingdom, yeah. pushing back darkness. And really God is using us to renew creation, to renew,
yes.
To renew people from going to death to life in Jesus yeah. And believing in his name yeah. And going from death to yeah. life and it, spiritually. Yeah. So,
and we know yeah. that we're never going to be able to do that perfectly. Like yeah. we're not going to look up one day and the Garden of Eden is going to be, it is like, we're going to have worked that out as the yeah. church. Like there's a battle and darkness is here. That's why we long and we pray for the King.
Yep.
Because yes, he's commissioned us to renew and recover and restore and bring healing and life. But ultimately that's not going to be able to fully and finally happen until the King comes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that no, we're not ever going to completely accomplish the victory in and of ourselves. That's mm-hmm. why we need Jesus.
Yep.
And we need him to come back and return. And that's a good day that we look forward to. But until yeah. then, we are faithful because when he comes back, we want him to find us faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, heaven is for people who love God. Mm-hmm. It's not for people who just, you know, prayed a prayer and recited some words one day or got dunked in some water. It's for people whose hearts have been transformed by the grace and the beauty of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who have a desire to live with him and live for him
mm-hmm.
and who are surrendered and submitted to him increasingly so as they grow and as they know him more and more.
Yeah.
But we're not a complacent people. We're not a people who are meant to just kind of sit still or to be stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
But we're people who are supposed to be moving for the mm-hmm. sake of the kingdom. But once again, it's something that we do out of faith, mm-hmm. something we do, out of surrender, out of love, out of sacrifice, not out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know our King is coming. We know that we can trust him. We know that our future and eternity is secure in his hands. And so we don't do so out of fear, but we do so out of faithfulness and obedience to what he's called us to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I think about Philippians 3:20, just thinking about that we are not citizens of this world, but we're citizens of heaven.
Yeah.
Where Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself.
Yeah, that's a word.
So thinking about how we are citizens of heaven, we're citizens of the kingdom.
Yeah.
We're not citizens of just, you know, America or this world. Like we have another world, another kingdom that we're living for that is actively being renewed and restored. And God is using us yeah. to do that. So it's such a reminder, man, that like this world, this life is so like short, it's fleeting. And a lot of times we can get so caught up, like we talked about last week, how the anxieties of the world and the things of this world choke out the faith that we have.
Yeah.
And how we can get so set on today and not have this eternal mindset and constantly just thinking about, you know, the money to be made or, you know, the things that we can collect or whatever. It makes me think about one of Denzel Washington's quote where he says...
My favorite theologian.
Yeah. Favorite theologian, Denzel Washington. Where he says, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse.
Mm.
Like the things that we have, the things that we're gaining in this world, the things that we're buying, the things that we're so focused on, it's all going to be left here. Like yeah. we're not taking any of those things to heaven with yeah. us, you know? They're not going with us, with mm. our souls. So it's such a reminder, man, that we got to live for what matters in eternity. We can't yeah. just give ourselves to things that repeatedly just leave us wanting more. It's like what C.S. Lewis says, where he says, if nothing in this world satisfies, it's probable that we were made for another world.
Yeah.
And that another world is to live for God's kingdom,
yeah, for
to live for his reign, to live for, to worship him and to yeah. be in relationship with him and to live for the things that he says matters most.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was even thinking, in 2 Peter, you know, Peter's kind of towards the end here, older guy, and he's likely writing this from a Roman prison, you know, before his execution, and he's writing to the dispersed church. Persecution was going crazy, and so the church was having to kind of run. But as they were running, the church was growing. But Peter encourages them after he kind of uses this. He kind of writes these lists of things of what kind of it looks like to grow as an ambassador for Jesus and to live for his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And then he goes on to say, for in this way, there will be, you, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Yeah. And so he's telling them, man, and he goes on to say he wants to stir them up. He wants to stir them up by way of reminder. And that's kind of our goal even in talking about this, is we want to remind people of what God promises and what we're headed towards.
Yeah.
And so that it stirs us up to continue living for him and being faithful to him, knowing that he is faithful.
Yeah.
And that we are safe and secure, and that our future is safe and secure. And but man, as Peter's saying these things, he's saying, hey, I know it's hard, but keep being faithful and keep being diligent to confirm who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And what's true about you, and to do this by what you're practicing and by what you're doing, so that you can enter into heaven knowing, man, that you're going to be richly provided for as you enter into his kingdom with a king that says, well done, good and faithful servant, and rejoices over your life and the faithfulness in which you lived.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good to be reminded, man, like we're living for another kingdom. Like we can't just set our mind on the things of this world. It has to be we have to set our minds on the things of God. I was thinking about Colossians 3 as well, and just talking about practically, like, what does that look like day by day to live for heaven, to live for God, to live for eternity. Colossians 3 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And just thinking about, man, we set our minds on the things of eternity. We set our minds on the things of God.
That's good.
Because we know that's what we were made for. We weren't made to just be fulfilled and satisfied with these things, because they never do.
Yeah.
We have to be satisfied in God.
Yeah. That's why Jesus constantly tells his disciples and you know, continues to tell us today, you know, I think about Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And dude, it's just this reminder that because he loves us, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's leading us, he's saying, man, don't get caught up in it, right? Don't get caught up in the anxieties of this world, where you can figure out, man, how can I ensure my safety and security in this world? He's like, you can't, you can't ensure it. This world is broken, right? People are living in, people are marred and broken by sin. And that sin is ultimately going to come out in destruction. And like, you can't, you're not going to be able to protect yourself from all the different things. Like, we're even experiencing, you know, the unpredictability of like recessions and these kind of things. Like, man, you can't predict it. And so Jesus is saying, so yes, I understand you gotta work, you gotta provide for it, but man, store your treasures up in heaven. Like, make sure the things that you're pursuing are worthy pursuits, right? Mm-hmm. The things that you're longing for are worthy to be longed for and to be fought for and those kind of things. Don't get caught up in these little things or these side arguments or whatever else. But man, be captivated by me and be motivated by my kingdom and doing work for me, because I'm telling you, that's going to be something, dude, that it can't be lost. It can't be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend so much of our lives thinking about retirement and thinking about, you know, how we can store up enough money to be able to go here, do that. Like, dude, eternity is coming. Mm-hmm. Like, eternity is coming, where we're going to have pleasures and treasures in the right hand of the Lord forevermore. We're going to be in a redeemed and restored earth. We're going to be able to see all the beauty, and we're going to be able to rejoice and enjoy all the things that God has for us. And we're going to be able to do so from a place of safety and security and peace and tranquility. And like, that's coming. We've got it right now. Right now, man, we can pursue God's kingdom, and we can fight for what matters most.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that we misuse and abuse ourselves and kind of
make our lives miserable?
Yeah, to kind of throw ourselves in the fire? No, absolutely not. Like, we're to delight and enjoy God now, and we take Sabbath rest to remind ourselves what's coming. That, man, rest that we get to enjoy maybe a day a week or in moments here, we're going to enjoy forever there.
Yeah.
And so we discipline ourselves to do that. We rest, but we rest right now for the sake of the work, knowing that one day we're going to be able to rest from our labor.
Yeah.
But that day's not today. Our goal is to be wrung out for the kingdom of God and for our lives to be used as a sacrifice unto him.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's going to be moments that we get to enjoy and get glimpses of what we're going to experience forever.
Mm-hmm.
But eternity's coming. It's not here yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I think about John Piper's book, Don't Waste Your Life, and one of the things that he talks about is he used to have this picture in his, I think it was in his like living room or in his, you know, his parents' kitchen, like growing up, that he would always see every single day. And I think it said, this world is coming to pass only, this world is coming to pass only what's done for Christ will last.
Yeah.
And he just was reminded of that every single day, that, man, like, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life on things that don't matter. Don't just save up for retirement so that's when you start truly living, but start truly living now for what matters and what you were actually made for, to be in relationship with God, to worship Him, and to experience true life that can happen here in the now.
And so I just
think about that, man, like we have to have that eternal mindset or else we get totally lost in the anxieties of life.
Well, the thing that helps me, man, is knowing that once again, when Jesus came, He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? It's not some place that we're going to end up and that we're going to go and that kind of stuff. Like it's at hand. And when you came to faith in Christ, you went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Mm-hmm. And so essentially, like, man, we're already kind of, once again, the language is already, but not yet, right? Mm-hmm. That we're already in the kingdom and we are advancing that while we're here. And so in a sense, eternal life is already begun, right? It's not, that's already begun. We're like you, but it's something right now that we pursue and that we fight for. And one day we'll be enjoyed.
Yeah.
And delighted in.
So what does that look like practically for us every day to be reminded of that eternal mindset that we can have to pursue God, to realize that this creation is going to be restored one day, that we're on a mission to help other people go from death to life and be light bearers as well, and pushing back darkness, all those things. Like, just if I was a young adult and I'm asking the question, man, what does that look like tomorrow for me to wake up? And what do I need to start doing?
Yeah. Really simply, I would say, It empowers me to be able to say no to things right now, in the sense that man, when you're in this world and you're of this world, then you have to get it while you can, right? You have to pile up things. You have to try to secure these things and make sure you're safe and secure and you have all these things, and you're constantly grabbing from a place of need, right? But when I'm living with an eternal mindset, I'm knowing that man, my eternity is secure, and I'm gonna have treasures there if that's what I'm living for and pursuing. And so I don't have to pursue all the things now, right? I know that they're coming. I know that my reward is coming from Jesus. I know that He's gonna take care of me in the end. And so it empowers me to be able to say no to things now because I'm living with an eternal mindset. My reward's coming. I don't have to get it now. I don't have to get it while I can. I know it's coming from a generous God who is going to reward me. And so that's one thing, man. It helps me fight sin. It helps me fight that, man, I don't have to be satisfied by the things of this world because I know eternal satisfaction is coming in Jesus. And so it helps me that, but man, it gives me hope. It gives me hope in pain. It gives me hope in the sorrows of this life. It gives me all that man, that I'm in a battle right now, and there's different kingdoms and at war, and I get caught in the middle of it. And man, when you're in battle, you're going to be wounded, right? When I'm pursuing God's kingdom here on earth, I know that darkness is coming after me. And so I'm going to experience pain. I'm going to experience loss because this is not the end, right? This is, I get to experience in shadows and glimpses what I get for eternity. And there's going to be a ton of pain that I'm going to experience, but dude, it gives me hope knowing that the peace and satisfaction and the joy and the treasures and pleasures of the right hand of God forevermore are mine, and they're coming for me. And so, I think those are two practical things for me that, dude, it gives me the ability to say no, to the things of the world now, knowing that my reward is coming, and it gives me hope in the midst of pain and darkness, knowing that my future in eternity is secure.
Yeah, it's good. I feel like for me, I can look back on my life and just see like the most, you know, worldly struggles that I've had. I needed like community in that time to point me back to the kingdom, to point me back to who Jesus is. And so I just say, like, if you're looking to have, you know, an eternal mindset, you're looking to live for God and totally submit your life to Him. Like you can't do that alone. I know we talk about that so much on our podcast, but really, I mean, it's that whenever, a lot of times, you know, Monday night or Tuesday nights is when we have small group. A lot of times I'm just like, by Tuesday, I feel like, you know, the world is just like so loud, you know, and I'm, you know, a lot of times we'll, I feel like the enemy just throws stuff at us on, my wife and I on Tuesdays, and we're like, oh man, I don't know, like small group, like I feel like I have so many other things we need to take care of. But then we go to small group and we're reminded of heaven. We're reminded of who Jesus is. We're reminded of the gospel and the fact that, man, these anxieties and all these things that, that weigh on us day in and day out, and the temptations and the pressures to do what the world, you know, says to do, and to buy this, to buy that, to you know, live out the American dream, you know, all these things that try to choke out the life in you and the faith that you have in the Lord. We're reminded, man, like we can rest in Jesus. Like we, the pleasures of the world just aren't worth it.
Yeah.
Like we were made to enjoy God here, and that is where we find like true life. So
that's good, dude.
So just the community aspect of, man, having people that you can run to, having people that, that know you and that can kind of point you back to Jesus is so vital, so important. You can't do the Christian life alone.
Yeah. Well, and it's just remembering, dude, that like when we're in church, when we're gathered together, when we're gathered in our community, in our homes and those kind of things, that like we are alongside other people who are trying to submit to the kingdom, rule, and reign of Jesus. And we do get glimpses of heaven. Mm-hmm. Like we get glimpses of what it's going to be like to be together as a family. Cause you know, we have to remember that when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for us. Mm-hmm. He's coming back for a people.
Yeah.
He's not just coming back for you as an individual. He's coming back for us as a community and as a body, and ultimately as one bride, you know, meant for him. And so, yeah, those sweet moments, man, where we look up and we look around at these people and we go, this is a glimpse.
Yeah.
This is a glimpse.
And yeah.
We want to continue to get those glimpses as much as we possibly can. So,
yeah, that's so good. I think the second thing I think of is just taking the eyes off myself. Like it's so tough. I think a lot of times we live our life like we're the main character all the time, and that life is all about us, almost like the Truman Show. is what I think about whenever I'm, you know, deep in, you know, just thinking about myself, my worries and, you know, perception, all those things all the time. I just need to take my eyes off myself. I think about what Tim Keller says. He says, I don't want to think less of myself. I want to think of myself less.
Yeah.
And just taking your eyes off yourself and serving other people, taking your eyes off yourself and sharing the gospel with people, like doing what you were created to do. Like we so often are so enthralled with all of our needs. Like we forget that, man, we are so tiny in minuscule in this world. Like we can look at creation and know that, man, I am just like a tiny little blimp, like of personhood on this earth. Like we're tiny, and God is so big, and there's so much greater of a purpose that He has for our lives other than for us just to be totally focused on ourselves all the time.
Yeah, and even as we say things like advancing the kingdom, it sounds really grand and big, but the way Jesus does that is really simple, you know, is through some really simple things. And dude, we're ordinary people redeemed by an extraordinary God for an extraordinary purpose. But the way we do that is really through a lot of ordinary, you know, it's through ordinary relationships. It's through a lot of ordinary disciplines and those kind of things, but God uses it in some beautiful ways. And so advancing the kingdom in your life, may not feel or seem so supernatural or spectacular or crazy or insane. But man, God's going to use you where you are, to advance the gospel through you. And He's going to use who you are, your personality, to build His kingdom through you. And you're going to look back on a life that was lived, for the things that matter most, and you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And so consistency and faithfulness, you know, over the span of our lives, leads to some pretty big things. And so,
yeah. So good. Think about John 3:30, He must increase, I must decrease. It's all about Him. Well, we hope this has been helpful today. If it was, do us a solid and like and share and subscribe. If you have any ideas or feedback or questions for future topics or simply want to find out more about us, you can go to the link in our description at westridge.com/YA or hit us up over on Instagram at WRC Young Adults. Keep it real, saints and ain'ts.
Peace.